98FM. Now that's what I call sport podcast.
Good morning, you're very welcome back. Happy Easter, and the sunshine is out in Dublin. It's bursting into our studio here, very nice at 9:45 on Sunday morning. Now, we've always looked upon life as a young professional footballer in England and thought, wow, they have it all. But that rarely is the case. Graham Burke signed for Aston Villa from Dublin schoolboy club Belvedere as a 16-year-old in 2011. He made his first team debut the following year, but overall endured a frustrating spell and ended up going on loan to and then signing permanently for Notts County, where he played over 40 games. After his manager was sacked and first team chances limited, Graham, who's now 23, came home to Dublin and signed for Shamrock Rovers earlier this season. He joined me on our League of Ireland podcast this week, and here's the second part of his interview, which we kept for today's show, about life in England, the highs and the lows.
98FM.
Graham, let's just speak about your time back in Dublin. How has it been just living back? I know you're from the inner city and your family and friends are all very close to you, and you close to them, and your girlfriend too. What's life like living back in Dublin for the first time since 2011 when you moved over as a young teenager?
It's been great, Jamie. I've really enjoyed it being home. Like, the past 6 months in England for me wasn't the best. It was very frustrating. And I wasn't enjoying football as I was in previous years. And I had to make a decision for myself and to make myself even happier. And I made the decision to come back to Ireland. And it's been the best decision that I've made. And I've really enjoyed it, being back home with family, friends, and being up at Rovers. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
And Graham, is it fair to say that life in England maybe isn't what it's made out to be? And I know one of your mates in Aston Villa in the U team, and I'm sure you still know him quite well, in Mikey Drennan, has opened up about his problems and his depression and stuff like that. You moved away in 2011 to sign for Aston Villa from Belvedere as a 16-year-old. You at Villa for a couple of years. You then played at Notts County, and you've just come back. The ups and downs of life in England are different for everybody, and it's fair to say they were the same for you.
Yeah, it's different. It's different journeys for every player. Like, you will have your ups and downs in it. Like, you'll have your good times. You will have your bad times. And I've had my good times when I was at Villa. And then when I went to Notts County, I had a lot of bad times. You know, but it's just about sticking with it and everything, getting through the bad times. And the good times then will come. But I was trying to stick with it, and I was kind of getting nowhere. So that's when I had to make a decision of what I'm going to do here. And I made the decision that I was going to go home and play for Rovers. But for all kids, it's leaving at the age you do. Like, they're all going to be going on different journeys, but I can only speak for my experience.
Graham, let's speak about your experience when you first moved over. As we said, you signed for Aston Villa in 2011 from Belvedere. You're one of the best underage players here in the country, playing for one of the best schoolboy clubs. And it wasn't too soon after when you left that you made your Villa first team debut in 2012 in the League Cup.
Yeah, the things, Jamie, when you say, like, you have your ups and your downs. Like, I went to Villa, and in the space of 2-3 years, I made my debut, and you think, like, this is great, like, you've made your debut and everything, and then 3 months later, that changes, you know, and then you're in your bad times, and then we won the Next Gen Series, and then you have your good times again, and then you go into, I signed a new contract then at Villa, and I had another 2 years at the club, and I went out on loan to Shrewsbury, and it didn't work out for me. And then I come back to the club and I couldn't get myself another loan. And then I got an injury, which I was out for 7 months with. And when I came back from the injury, I went on loan to Notts County, and I played 10 games on loan from Notts County, and it went well. And then at the end of that, you think, where have the 5 years gone? You know, like, they went so quick that, like, then I'm up for renewal and contract at Villa, and then they release me, and then you're going through the summer, like, hang on, what's going on? You don't know what's happening with you. And then I signed for Notts County, and then, like, at the time I was at Notts County, it didn't really pan out for me the way I wanted it to be.
Yeah, again, it's interesting that you say that you know you're up for renewal and you're waiting probably to be called into the office to be told if you're being kept or if you're not. And the previous time you were given a new 2-year contract, the next time, unfortunately, you're not. How exactly are you told, Graham, that you know you're not being kept on? Is it called into an office? Is it a phone call from your agent? Is it a text message? How does that actually work in terms of the actual process of a club telling you that, in effect, they don't want you anymore?
Well, it's at the end of the season when everybody, all the lads who are up for contract, there'll be a day set out that during the week, say if it's a Friday, that we'll all be getting told on a Friday, so you will get a time slot for every player. They'll get 10 minutes, and then when you go into your meeting on that day, they will tell you whether they'll be offering you a contract or whether they won't be offering you a contract.
So you're told in a meeting the last 10 minutes that you're released?
Well, it can go on longer for that, but like every playoff, there's 10 players. So for a gap of 3 hours, like somebody being at 10 past one, somebody being at 20 past one, and during your meeting, you will be told whether they're going to keep you on or if they're going to let you go.
And obviously, Graham, you know, you had moved your whole life and you had had, as we said, the good times and the bad times at Villa. What actually happens when you're told, you know, straight away in an office that you're gone?
Well, it's hard to take. Like, you can't really speak on it at that time in the moment because you got 100 things running through your head. What am I going to do next? Is this the end for me? And everything like that. But then you have to walk away from it and you have to assess it. Like when I was told 2 days later, I went back home to be with my family. You know, just to try and take my mind off it. But you're not fully going to take your mind off it. And you just think, like, what am I going to do next? Because if you're in England and you're going the next month or 2 months being there, then it's kind of like you're down. You're going to probably sulk about it. You're probably not going to be want to be there. You know, so for me, I came home for 2 days later. I came home for a couple of days. I tried to sort down my head and then I went back to see how the rest of my contract with Villa. And then during the summer, I came back to Ireland and I went through everything with my agent to see where I'm going to move to next.
Graham, just speak to me a bit about the importance of your friends and particularly your family in these situations, even when things are going well in England and, you know, you moved over as a teenager. And I know lots of young footballers from Ireland, they jump home once or twice a month on a flight and spend, you know, a day or two in Dublin, and then they've got the family, you know, over to watch games and stuff like that, and you know, all that type of stuff as well, and you pop in the homesickness and everything else. I know you have a girlfriend too. Just all about that, and you know, when you miss your family and then the sacrifices you have to make and they have to make in order to see each other and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, well, it's difficult. Like, it's the first couple of months are going to be the hardest way, you know, moving away from home. But I was kind of like, I went home nearly once a month. I had somebody over once a month. So it was kind of 2 weeks where I kind of didn't see anybody. So it's not really a long time to go without seeing anybody. But some people deal with it different than others, you know, like, especially when you finish training. Like, if you finish training at 1, 2 o'clock, you're going home all the way until the next day, going home to the family that are looking after you. Like, I'm really well with the family that were looking after me, so it kind of helped me in a way. But if you're going home and you're not open to talk to them and you're just going up in your room, you're playing PlayStation, you're doing whatever you want to do, it's gonna be difficult for yourself. I had Mikey, Danny, Derek. I had a lot of Irish lads there at Villa. That was kind of like, it made it much easier for me. Because it wasn't just me on my own kind of way. Like, we could go, we'd go to cinema, we could go for food, we could go for a coffee, we could go wherever. And it breaks up, like, if you're doing that for an hour or two of the day, it breaks up that hour or two of the day where you're going to be sitting at home doing nothing, thinking about, oh, I'd love to go home, I'd love to do this or whatever, like, you know. So it just depends, like, on the individual. Like, I know Mikey struggled very differently. You know, Mikey got homesick very much and he went home more often than I did. But I think it's different for everybody else. But yeah, it is important that you like get to see your family every so often, because there could be times when you're going through a bad time and you see your mum, you talk to your mum, and then it makes you more happier, and then you go out and, you know, because you're more happier, you start to perform better.
And Graeme, in terms of the battle on the pitch, you spoke about winning the Next Gen Series in 2013 with Aston Villa, which is an underage, basically an underage Champions League, I think it's fair to say. And you scored both goals in the final, which you won. I think you were the joint top scorer in that Next Gen Series in 2013. Just talk to me a little bit about the battle on the football pitch and how competitive it is. And, you know, for you personally, as an attacking player, there's probably 8, 10, 12 other players same age as you and younger than you who want your spot, and then if you want to move up and play for the 23s and play for the first team, there's even more competition above you as well.
Yeah, at that age group, you've got so many age groups. Even if there's somebody a year older than you, 2 years older, 2 years younger than you, they're all fighting for the same goal, and the one goal is to play for the age group that you're playing, and then the higher term goal is to play the first team, you know. So there's so many, like if you go through from the ages of 16 up to reserves, like you probably got nearly 10 strikers, you know, like, and they tell you like only one, or if not one of them, are playing the first team, or maybe none of you are playing the first team. That's the thing in academy football, like you can have hundreds of kids in the academy football, but you could only have one that will break through. Like in my age group, there's people playing football other parts in England, but for my age group, there's only one that came through and is playing at Aston Villa, and that's Jack Grealish. And he was 2 years younger than me, you know, so that's the only person that has come through and has established himself in the Aston Villa team. So you just goes to show you how hard it is for somebody to break through into the Premier League first team. It's very difficult, and every day it's you have to perform every game, you have to perform, because all the eyes is on you to perform, you know. And if you come away from having a 2 week bad spell or 3 week bad spell, then somebody else behind you or all in you is going to come in, and then he's going to play, you know, that kind of way. So it's always pressure to perform, like, you know.
And Graeme, is that a good pressure? And if the pressure is getting to you and maybe your performances aren't what they should be, or maybe your body hasn't adjusted to the gym work, or, you know, the long days that you're having when you're maybe doing a double session, is there someone there to help you and speak to you if you do feel under that immense pressure? Because as you said, you know, that word performance is so, so important in football, but particularly when you're trying to earn a new contract.
Yeah, that's what I mean, like, because the goal, like, is to earn yourself a new contract, to stay longer, to have more time to develop and get into the first team. And there's everybody there, like, to help you, to talk about things, to say what you should do, what you're not doing well, but what are you doing good, and to put an arm around you at times that you need it, you know. But that is, it's performances that, like, is the key, you know, because you perform, you have to score goals, you have to create goals, you have to, for defenders, you have to defend, you have to win every header, midfielders get play going, you know, wingers get balls in the box and everything. You're all, like, on a game day, you have to do something productive.
And Graeme, just to ask you about, you know, if you were to give advice now to a young player, you know, let's use a couple of examples at Shamrock Rovers, your own club, Trevor Clark, particularly at left back and left wing back, has been absolutely fantastic for you guys this season, regular in the Irish under-19s as well. Wouldn't be surprised if an offer for him to possibly move to the UK was to come in July. Would you advise someone like that who's having such a good season here to go, given what you know about England? And the risk, I suppose, if they don't go, is that the opportunity never comes again.
Yeah, like for Trevor's age, I think Trevor's 18, 19, and he's now playing men's football. You know what I mean? Like, he's playing in Shamrock Rovers' first team. He's playing against other men. He's playing at he's playing regular football at his age. Now, if he goes to England, he'd probably play reserve team football, or he'd probably be out on loan. So for him now, like, it's great for him now because he's playing regular football at Shamrock Rovers, and then other people looking from the outside can see that he's playing regular football and he's playing men's football. So that will give him a better chance of playing in somebody's first team. With Trevor, like, he's so good at going forward. Like, he's always going past one, two people, and he always has an end product. He's always getting, he's not getting fouls, he's getting crosses in the box, he's dribbling past people. He's so big for our team when we are going forward. And I think Trevor has so much ability that he will go to England at some stage in his career.
And Graham, just finally to bring it back to yourself, your own plan moving forward. As we've said, you've scored three goals already in your short career with Shamrock Rovers. I'm sure you feel you've unfinished business in the UK to go and, you know, do and conquer and take care of as well. Do you have a thought process in your own head about going back or staying here or doing something away from football education-wise or work-wise as well? Or just, you know, where is your own mindset at as we currently stand?
Well, for the past 2 years, Jamie, this is the happiest that I've been playing football at the moment. You know, like, and I haven't even thought about that or anything like that because I've been enjoying my football so much now. So I'm just focusing on what I've got to do for Shamrock Rovers, and I have no thought of doing that in the near future.
That is the voice of Shamrock Rovers, Graham Burke. Fascinating insight into life back in Ireland and also life in the UK as a young professional footballer. Graham, thanks a million for your time.
All right, cheers, Jamie. Thank you.
98FM's Now That's What I Call Sport.
Back live this Sunday morning from 9.
98FM.